I was wondering how many of you enjoy retirement. The old adage about retirement is you find out that you are more active. But each of us, no matter if we are retired or not, enjoy the time we spend relaxing. I'm sure. No matter what job you have or how intense you are at what you do. But in the process of just sitting down and relaxing, you let your mind wander. Anybody who doesn't or has never done that? I don't think so, but we have to be careful of where our minds wander. So as you are relaxing, maybe within a soft chair with your feet on an ottoman, eyes closed, half asleep, still thinking, what do you think you should think about? Do you know of a place we can go to find out what you think of? Most certainly, Yahweh's Word. And we can find those answers in the Scripture. Yahweh's Word is made up of many, many locations where guidelines are written for us to learn. Guidelines are just a list, just as a piece of paper that's covered with items you want to buy at a grocery store. It is a list. What you do with the list is what is important. And what you do and best be abided, or it must be by abiding by Yahweh's word. Otherwise, we'll suffer the consequences. And as we go ahead and follow Yahweh's instruction, those guidelines, the items in the guidelines, the important ones, such as the Ten Commandments, that's just a list. And even when we read it in scriptures, it is a list. But it is how we make use of that list, how we treat that list. And if we treat it abiding in the truth, then we are gaining attributes. And the title is Attributes of a Believer. Part one, well, this is what a feast, one of the two topics I had put together for the feast last year, which we didn't make. So I just left the part one in there because there is a part two. But these guidelines that the scripture have for us to follow, if we do follow, then they become our attributes. People will recognize what we do, and what they recognize in us is our attribute. I could take the short route and just say, this is the list of things we should think about, and I'll be done in 5 minutes by the references I have. But I want to start out looking at a scripture which tells us to think on certain topics or things, and that is found in Philippians chapter 4:8, the second half, which reads, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Part A of the list items. So I chose part B because what this whole verse is mathematically speaking, it's a conditional statement which, in order for the conclusion to be satisfied and true, the hypothesis must be true. Okay, now to some of you, what are those words? In this phrase that you see right here, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, whenever you say a statement beginning with the word if, that's the condition, beginning of a conditional statement, the if clause is called a hypothesis. And generally speaking, they have a then clause, but most often the word then is implied. In this case, the then clause, the conclusion, think on these things. Think on these things. Okay. I want to take a look at the two words that you see in the first line, or in the first part. If there be any virtue, I want to look at virtue. And if there be any praise, I want to look at praise. Because in order for that sentence that we see there to be a true sentence, those two phrases that follow the two ifs, each must be true. I will not spend the time to mathematically explain by using technically truth tables and Venn diagrams to show you, but basically I'm saying is that we know that Yahweh's word is true. We know that if we believe the scriptures. Thy word is truth. And we also know that this statement here is true. In order for this statement to be true, and with those words that follow the two ifs, the virtue and the praise, those also must be true in order for that whole statement to be satisfied and the conclusion, thinking these things, is a true. And now it's awfully hard to understand what things we are supposed to think on without it saying it right there, But going back to the word virtue, the word virtue comes from the Greek word arete, that's in Strong's numbers 703. It means excellence. Now, the first time, if you can remember back when the first time you read in King James and you saw the statement, if there be any virtue, did you know what that word meant? I admit I didn't. It's hard. Sometimes you have to have a dictionary, or better yet, a concordance, to find out what the translations, the words that are translated, what they themselves actually mean. The word excellence, there are two different avenues that we have to look at the word excellence in far as how they are used. One way is that something is excellent just by the very nature of what it is. Intrinsic. Other than that, you may hear of or see an action and say it is an excellent act. And your interpretation of that act being excellent is by observation. It has no intrinsic value. It's just because the act itself was excellent. In other translations, that word virtue is translated in the NIV version, the word excellent. And in the NASB, that translation interprets the Greek word that is translated here, virtue, as being excellence. Those two translations have a better attachment to the actual meaning of the Greek word. Okay. So I want to take a look at those two avenues, intrinsic interpretation of the word excellent, and what acts are attributed as being excellent. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Take a look at examples where the word excellent is intrinsic, and you'll understand more when we hit that word. Hebrews 1, chapters or verses 1 through 5, we read, Yahweh, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. An example of what is meant by an intrinsic interpretation of a word, excellent. By inheritance he obtained a more excellent name than the others. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, This day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. So here we learn that Yahshua's name has an excellent interpretation, and we know exactly what it means. So this is an example of what is meant by an intrinsic interpretation of a word. The word itself and what it or who it is attached to in this case is interpreted by implication, by intrinsic values. So here we see then that Yahshua's name is excellent. Going to Psalm 148, verse 13. We read there, let them praise the name of Yahweh, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the heaven and the earth, or above the earth and the heaven. So as Yahshua's name is excellent, Yahweh's name also is excellent by its very nature, by its very nature. Proverbs chapter 8 in itself expresses many places as examples a connection to the word excellent or excellence. Specifically, if we go to Proverbs 8, verse 6, we'll look at the word excellent being attached by interpretation. Here I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Here, wisdom is speaking of excellent things. So whatever he speaks in this case is not attributed by nature of what he speaks of, but it is by usage or by interpretation. Next we'll go to Job 37, verse 23, to know another example of attributing excellence to an entity. Job 37:23, read there, touching the Almighty, we can not find him out. He is excellent in power, in judgment, and in plenty of justice he will not afflict. So here we have the idea of the word power, even though the power is attached to Yahweh, that the word power has of Yahweh has or is attributed excellence. Go to Psalm 36, verse 7. Psalm 36, verse 7. There we read about the more characteristics of Elohim, the family, as being excellent. We read there in Psalm 36, 7, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O Elohim. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. So here the adjective of loving kindness is attributed as having the characteristic of being excellent. The word virtue, as we'll find out, is one of eight characteristics of one who leads a righteous life. We go next to 2 Peter 1, verses 3 through 7. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and righteousness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of a divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, and here comes the list, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, first virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience piety, and to piety brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. As we go back to the list, we start with faith, and to faith we add, well, we can say faith is assurance of our beliefs. We add virtue, which is assurance that something is of excellent value. And to virtue, we add knowledge, which is information. And to knowledge, we add temperance, which is self-control. And to temperance, we add patience, which is endurance, cheerful endurance. We are patient. And patience is used to develop piety, devoutness. Oops, I pressed it too far. And piety, devoutness, is used to brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness is a Philadelphia type of love, love of the brethren. And this type of love, wow, is used to produce or develop charity. That charity is the agape love, the love that we have towards anybody just because they exist. And it's unconditional. Unconditional. So here we have looked at the way the word virtue, excellence, is associated with the heavenly family, and how we can attribute characteristics to other things. The list is long. So going back to Philemon or Philippians 4 verses 8, we take a look there. If any virtue or any excellence, the second word that is used there in the second half of that first line, it deals with praise. We have found out that virtue does exist. So that part of that line statement is true. Next, we take a look at praise. If there be any praise. The word praise is the translation of the Greek word epaheinos, Strong's 1868, meaning laudation, or to sing, or give praise, or extol. Take a look at a few examples just to show that there is praise that exists. Going first to Luke 18, verses 41 through 43. We're seeking verses that speak that praise does exist. Luke 18, verse 41 reads, saying, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And he said, "Master, that I may receive my sight." And Yahshua said unto him, "Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying Yahweh. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto Yahweh. So here's an example that praise does exist. And of course, I think by application, we should view how praise is given and how excellence is given, and remember that in our lives. Shortly before Passover, we find a story written and recorded in Luke 19, verses 33 to 37. Another example of praise being offered. Luke 19, 33. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, "Why loose ye the colt?" And they said, "The master hath need of him." And they brought him to Yahshua, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Yahshua thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise Yahweh with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they have seen. Again, example of praise existing. We can go to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15 verses 8 through 11 reads, "Now I say that Yahshua Messiah was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of Yahweh, to conform with the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify Yahweh for his mercy, as it is written, For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he said, Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again praise Yahweh, all ye Gentiles, and laud him." Another praise. "And all ye people." So it's very important when it says here, "All ye people, praise Yahweh." This is what Yahweh expects us to do, to praise him, to glorify him. Hebrews 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. We read there, 9 through 12. "But we see Yahshua, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of Yahweh shall taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the assembly will I sing praise unto thee." Sing praise unto thee. So again, it's another example of showing that praise is important. Go to a parallel verse here, Psalm chapter 22. Okay. I guess I didn't put that on there. But Psalm 22 basically says the same as the last phrase. I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. So going back to Philippians 4 verse 8, if there be any virtue, we found out, yes. If there be any praise, we found out, yes. So if I may technically say, the hypothesis is true. Now, in this kind of a mathematical statement, certain conditions have to be satisfied in order for the whole statement to be true. We know Yahweh's word is true, so we know what we read is true. We know the whole statement is true. And in order to verify that the part that you see underlined is true, the only way, if the whole statement is true, and the only way that the conclusion will be true is if the hypothesis is likewise true. There's four possibilities that can occur, and the only one which is meaningful is the one where the if clause is true, the then clause is true, which theoretically then makes the whole statement true. So now, here we see underscored, think of these things. Now, in order to get an idea of what things we are to think of, we look at the whole verse. Philippians 4, verse 8. I've always, whenever I saw a conditional statement when I was teaching logic, I tried to impress, it's much more easy to under that if the if words begin the line, because then you understand what you have, and then afterwards you find out what you are given. So the whole verse, Philippians 4, verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. To make it easier, let's put the if at the beginning. The same wordage, the same ideas, and it's easier to understand. I'll read there, finally, brethren, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on whatsoever things are true. Think on whatsoever things are honest. Also on whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Even to make it a little bit more clear, if we replace that word virtue, there we have that line we had before. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, if we then take a look at, or just replacing the word virtue with excellence, I find personally it's easier to understand. Easier to understand. If there, finally, it says here then, finally, brethren, if there be any excellence, if there be any praise, those two words are easy for a person to understand. If there be any excellence, and if there be any praise, think on whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. So here we have the verse which is written without the underscores. I think it's easier to understand. And instead of going over all the length, we are told here in this single verse some things. I have to use the word some because there are a multitude of things that we can think about. In a table, to get an idea, just in a table, like I say, a list, of what things we should think on. First, things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report. So, going back to when I talked about at the beginning, the attributes of a believer, what should the attributes be? Just again saying it. This is what we should think about. Now, when you have a list, you go to the store and sometimes you have to read what's on the shelf to explain what you really want. So the attributes itself will be a list, just as the guidelines are a list. It's how we treat those attributes, how we make use of them. First off, we should have our actions to be true towards Yahweh and towards mankind. And we should let our actions be honest. All I'm doing is making a sentence out of and using each of those characteristics or attributes. Let our actions be honest towards Yahweh and mankind. Let our actions be just towards Yahweh and towards mankind. Let our actions be true or pure towards Yahweh and mankind. let our actions be lovely towards Yahweh and towards mankind. Let our actions be a good report towards Yahweh and mankind. So, reading this just in brevity, the characteristics or the attributes that we should exhibit, true towards the heavenly family, honest towards them, just towards them, not the families, Yahweh and mankind, just towards everybody, pure likewise, lovely also, and good report. We started out looking at a list of guidelines that the scriptures give us, and we said that if we take the guidelines, we have to show our behavior towards those guidelines and how we handle and make use of them. We cannot let our human characteristics interfere. We need the safeguard that Yahweh performs and has available, and that's the Holy Spirit, to guide us in all that we say. Because in the end, we know very well that whatever actions we say today will be involved. Let me rephrase that. Whatever actions we have at the end will be involved in our judgment. So may Yahweh's Spirit be with us to make sure that our judgment that we receive is what we certainly should desire, and that is to be participants in the kingdom that is to come. Hallelujah.